With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WYNNBet.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you by Coors Light. When you're sweating out your bets, make sure to grab a mountain cold refreshment, Coors Light. Coors Light is cold filtered, cold lagered, and cold packaged. It is literally made to chill. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Use promo code SGP on your first deposit and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. That's PropSwap.com, promo code SGP. And finally, we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up at UnderdogFantasy.com with promo code SGPN and receive a free $25 entry to use in the Best Ball Mania 2 for a chance to win $1 million. That's right, $1 million on Underdog Fantasy. And finally, please do not forget to download our app. That's right, the SGPN has an app in the App Store and the Google Play Store, so make sure to put SGPN into that little search bar and download it today.
Hi-de-ho, Degenerinos, and welcome to a historic episode 50 of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Yes, we made it to episode 50. We will dedicate this one to me in high school. I think I wore number 51 year, either in junior basketball or maybe senior basketball. I can't remember. What I do remember is I can assure you that jersey was returned spotless, hardly ever even sweat in. So no worries there. Who am I? I'm Jeff Fox, your host. Juicy Jeff Fox, I go by now. Actually, I forgot my name, man. I'm your host of the first 50 episodes of this, and hopefully another 50 to go. Thank you for everyone who has supported us up to this stage. And like I said, hopefully at least another 50, maybe another 50,000 more episodes to go, because we're so good at making awesome picks. And hopefully you're listening to us on our official MMA Gambling Podcast feed, which will help us keep pumping two episodes out a week for y'all. So if you're still listening to us on the SGPN feed, if you could find our dedicated feed and subscribe to us there, that would be much appreciated. I'm using we again, but it's not a royal we. There actually is a co-host. He's been with me for all 50 episodes. He is my podcast soulmate. He may have many other partners out there, but he's my only one. So despite how poorly he treats me and behind my back, he's my only podcast, like I said, soulmate, my one and only. I had I think I had a really awesome intro thought up from the other day, but it's totally gone now out of my head. So I don't know what it was. It probably would have been something mean towards him. So he's lucked out. Hopefully it will come back to me and I will use it in the future. But all I can say, this man is the prince of the purple belt, the toughest man in the world, the man that I appreciate being my co-host to make my picks look a little less bad. Just like this past weekend, he made me look a little less bad, a little less mediocre than I was. And that would be Daniel Gumby Vreeland.
Well, thanks for the shortened intro. I am going to say two things. First of all, little bummed that you gave this episode number 50 to yourself when such an obvious legend was sitting right there on your doorstep who's worn number 50.
David Robinson?
That's good, but you know I always go to the baseball world. That's the number Benny Agbayani wore in baseball.
Oh, of course. How could I have forgotten that?
Mets legend Benny Agbayani.
Of course. Well, happy 50th, honey. We made it to 50. Imagine that.
It seems fast. We got there fast. It's the two-a-week thing, I think.
You got it. Yep, that's what did it. Plus all the fun we're having, of course.
Yeah, of course. Your time flies when you're having fun and making awful picks. But you guys come here for the fun, not not the latter thing I said there, which we won't talk too much about.
You're here for the entertainment, obviously, or we would have no listeners every week, because this past weekend I was mediocre, which is basically our promise, but Dan was not even mediocre, which happens sometimes. I'm glad it happened to him.
In the words of the great Gus Johnson, sometimes in MMA, these things happen.
These things do happen in MMA. I'd say constantly, as Sean Sheehan says constantly on the Severe MMA podcast, these things happen in MMA. So, and some things definitely happened this past weekend at UFC Fight Night. Gania versus Volkov. A lot of things we didn't predict happened. But once again, we're pretty good, or at least I am, good at the prelims. Dan was mediocre in the prelims, but then we totally, to steal an expression from, I don't know who from, excuse the French, but we crapped the bed, Dan, in the main card. Who do you think made up that expression to begin with?
Crapped the bed?
Well,
to shit the bed, because you don't cuss as much as I do. Yeah, I'll say shit the bed for you so that it gets
Who made that up, do you think? What do you think of that? That would be something worth looking into.
I think probably a nurse. Right, like, that's a situation where, like, you walked in and you're like, oh, man, that dude shit the bed in there. And
yes.
That seems like a situation where it seems bad, but, like, not bad enough that, like, we're talking about some really serious stuff.
Yeah, that's good. Dan actually came up with a good – that's why you people come here, right?
Because I break down American idiom. An idiom, but an idiom.
Yeah, it's got a curse in it. It's got to be American idiom at the very least. Should we just get right into it? Yeah. Let's just get this over with, like ripping a Band-Aid off. Actually, first, I'm going to tell you about WynnBET, then we'll rip that Band-Aid off. WynnBET is bringing the action of real sports betting with the Wynn Las Vegas experience. Get in all your favorite teams, players, and sports games. Bonus promos, odds, and parlays are happening right now at WynnBET. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free sports bet. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WYNNBET.com. Download the app today. Get on there and bet the Suns to finish the series off tomorrow night. That's my betting tip for you. All right. This is going to be more painful for Dan than for myself. So he's got a whole bunch of – his Band-Aid's been on for a few weeks, and there's ass stuff underneath him. We're going to rip his off. But mine's a clean one, so it won't be that bad. Because I was 6-6. That's what we expect. That's what we promise you people, mediocre picks. So unfortunately, none of the six were underdogs. We figured this was going to happen eventually. Things reverted back to the mean as we expect to happen with, in this case, I'm talking about the underdogs. It was, I believe there's only 2 out of 12 underdogs came through last night. Did you do that math too, Dan, or are you just going to take my word on it?
I know Jeremiah Wells and...
Who's the other one? The other one was...
Timur Valiev.
Yes. That was it. So, yeah. For a while, we were hot with the... Well, we weren't hitting all of them, but underdogs were hot for a few weeks there. But we're getting back to a normal. So, a 12-fight card we probably should have had. A normal night would have had about 4, so... Like I said, we're getting back to average there. But unfortunately, I did not hit any of them, and Dan definitely did not hit any of them. I went 6-6, lost $322. Yeah, that's nothing. Chump change. Dan went 4-8, lost $639. But sadly, we both dropped a percentage point in our overall results. I'm down to 54%. Dan's at 52%. But the money, what about the money, right, Dan? What about the money?
I didn't say it, you did.
3,500 down for me, 3,000 down for Dan.
I'm still $500?
Yeah.
Look at that. That's not even just the Montserrat Canejo pick anymore. There's a little cushion in there.
Exactly. So don't listen to us. Don't bet on every fight, everybody, please, if you haven't learned already. Or at least, you have to have a better strategy than the same amount on every fight and every fight card says. Obviously, you don't make money that way, as we've proven. Positive from last night, I hit my lock. Shakhrat Rakhmonov. I think I combined his first and last name, but Rakhmonov. He looked like he was about three weight classes above his opponent last night. He towered over him. He won. It was minus 280, so it was a fairly easy one, but that's what a lock pick's supposed to be in my world. So I had 10-5 in my locks, up about $67. Dan, of course, missed his lock because he seems not to get this. You tried, hey, I'm going to take a pretty decent favorite, Warley Olivez, minus 240. I was considering him also. That's, you know, should be pretty solid. He's fighting a guy on, like, no notice who's never fought in the UFC before. But Dan, of course, did what we're that idiom we were talking about earlier, and he lost, and now he's 7-8 and down $360 almost. So there you have it. Now, you told me it kind of goes hand-in-hand with the Jeremiah Wells thing. You told me an interesting stat off-air. You actually did some pre-production, so go ahead. Let's show off and show the people that we really care. We put some effort into this. What did you find out about last night, Dan?
So I thought this was super interesting, and maybe my definition of super interesting is less than a lot of people's out there. But if you go back on June 14th, which is just about 2 weeks before the event, there were four fighters who were supposed to be on this card that did not wind up fighting. Ed Herman, Sergey Condonzo, Ramazan Amiev, and Maxim Grishin all were supposed to fight on this card. And on June 14th, they were all still on this card. All of them got replaced by replacement-level fighters. They had guys come in and take late fights. So Ed Herman was supposed to fight Danilo Marquez. He got replaced by Kennedy Zuchuku. Nick Dalby was supposed to fight Sergey Condonzo. Sergey Condonzo was replaced by Tim Means. Ramazan Amiev was supposed to fight Warley Alves. Alves instead fought the aforementioned Jeremiah Wells. And Ovince St. Preux, who was supposed to fight Maxim Grishin, of course, fought instead Tanner Boser. So if you look at all four of those guys who had their opponents changed, you will notice one common thread. Danilo Marquez got the shit beat out of him by Kennedy Zuchuku, at least in that last and final round. Tim Means beat the hell out of Nicholas Dalby. Warley Alves got knocked cold by Jeremiah Wells, and Tanner Boser landed a sick knee on Ovince St. Preux. So all four of the guys who were already planning on being on the card all got beat by guys stepping in on late notice, which, in three of them by knockout, and one just like a pretty savage beating, if we're being real honest about how Nicholas Dalby performed. So, like, it's really interesting to me that the guys who didn't have the full training camp on this card, and again, part of the reason why we took some underdogs here were guys stepping in on short notice and still being favorites. And it's just crazy to me that all of those guys did that well.
Yeah, since the stats say total opposite, 38% is the late replacement win percentage heading into that event. I haven't updated it with those, so those are probably obviously going to bump it up a little higher, but still, it's a very rare occurrence that a replacement fighter steps in and wins a fight, let alone destroys their opponent. And it's not like any of these guys really were world beaters, at the very least. We're talking about guys on losing streaks, guys who have never fought in the UFC before. You know, we're not talking about world beaters by any means, and they totally went against the odds, against the stats. So hopefully that means in the future there's going to be a huge adjustment to the mean once again, and we'll be hitting on betting against all of these late replacement guys.
Yeah, and I would also just follow up too is that's usually where we look for underdogs who are being like inappropriately labeled as underdogs, right? Like that's part of the reason why I liked OSP, right? Is that you know, Boser was taking this on short notice. He was going to be the smaller guy. But, you know, it's part of the reason I like Warley Alves so much. You know, like they were some of those guys, their lines were really skewed despite the fact the guy was coming in on short notice. And it didn't help.
No, it didn't. But what? Let's go through the card. Let's break down where we went wrong. But first, I want to tell you about Coors Light. Of course, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you need to do when you need a moment to chill after going 4-8 or 6-6, picking fights? You need to chill after that for sure. How do you like to hit the reset button and get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, forget about all those horrible beats you just took. Reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate responsibly. I'm on a roll. Let me tell you about PropSwap, too, or add another awesome sponsor of ours. We are brought to you by PropSwap, America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. Find the best odds in NBA championship and Stanley Cup futures when you buy directly from other bettors on PropSwap. See a ticket you like, but think the price is too high? Submit a bid for a price you think is fair and then buy it. Every ticket purchased on PropSwap can be resold at any time with one click of a button. And PropSwap gives you a suggested price tool to let you know how much your ticket is worth. A couple weeks ago, a PropSwap customer purchased a Milwaukee Bucks championship future for $150 when they were down 1-0 versus the Nets, and then resold it for $1,000 after the Bucks won Game 7. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. Think of it like the stock market, but for sports betting. So get in there, use promo code SGP on your first deposit, and receive up to $500 in bonus cash. Go to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app today. All right, postmortem time. UFC Fight Night, Gane versus Volkov. UFC Fight Night 190. UFC on ESPN Plus 48. UFC Vegas 30. All those things. The UFC Apex behind closed doors and no official crowd. Main card. Actually, the only, I think, heading into it, we thought this probably was the only one of any significance, and it turned out that way too. The only, but it really made a difference when it all is said and done, is the heavyweight main event. Cyril Gane defied us, thinking that this was going to be too much too soon for him, and not liking the matchup and thinking he was going to get a prospect loss. No, he very clearly outclassed Alexander Volkov, 50-45, 50-45, 49-46. Key thing for me was just the speed differential. He was just way too fast for Volkov. That's the thing that stood out at least the most for me. How about you?
For me, the interesting thing was that, and the announcers even alluded to this, like, it was very clear that, like, when Volkov could move forward, he got the better of Gane, right? Like, and it wasn't very often that he was doing it. But, like, when he moved forward and kind of let his hands go, he seemed to have success. And I think when we broke down the fight, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think we said that. That's part of what we liked about him, is that he's, like, a technical kickboxer who moves forward more than any of other of Cyril Gane's opponents. But I think what we have to reckon with after this fight is that maybe part of the reason why, you know, the Yair Rosenstroiks and the Junior Dos Santos and the Tanner Bosers of the world, all of those guys didn't move forward on Cyril Gane wasn't because they were afraid of him or that they were, like, washed in that part of their career, but it could just be that, like, his feints and his footwork make it so that you feel like you can't move forward on him. And I think that was my biggest takeaway of this fight was, like, if Volkov is too terrified, like, too unable to move forward, it isn't because he's terrified, right? It's because he just can't find his entry into getting forward.
My big takeaway is you just said Cyril Gane's name last name three different ways in that breakdown, which I appreciate. You
say Gane, nobody you say fucking Gane. Knows. Nobody knows how to say that dude's name anymore.
Yeah, and you would think, like watching a telecast of a sporting event, you would be able to trust what the announcers are saying. But with the UFC, I don't think you can. Other than the league guys, I guess the league guys are probably good. But those clowns that do color commentary, you can't trust those guys. But I agree totally with what you say. That was a very technical beatdown that you put on Volkov. So it's 6-0 now for Gane. He says he wants to sit out and wait for Ngannou. Looking at the rankings, looking at my performance rankings that I run on MMA-manifesto.com, which is the MMA site that I run when I'm not doing sports gambling podcast work. This basically done nothing really for his stock in terms of rankings. He's still solidly in fifth place behind Curtis Blaydes, Derek Lewis, Stipe Miocic, and Francis Ngannou. So what do you think the next step should be for him? Should he claims he wants to wait, but, like, what? We don't even know who Ngannou's fighting next, for sure. Sounds like it's going to be Derek Lewis. We don't know when it's going to happen. And then there's always the John Jones situation, too, who seeming he wants next. So you could be, like, third in line if you want to wait for a title shot. So you could be waiting over a year.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance he waits for a title shot. He's going to need another win. I think the only answer to this scenario is Stipe. I think Stipe is the only one who makes sense. Because, like, you know, not for anything. You know, I really like Curtis Blaydes. I've always been a Curtis Blaydes fan. He's had a couple of losses in a row. You know, the rumor out there is that he's got one fight left on his contract. If I'm not mistaken, they just booked him, too, right? Was it with...
I think so.
Shamil Abdurakhimov, maybe?
Let's see. Intern's checking for you.
I think it's Shamil Abdurakhimov.
You just want to show off that you can say his name.
Oh, no. You know what? It's with Jair Rosenstreich. Jair Rosenstreich. Yeah.
It is. UFC 266.
Yeah, so they've already booked him for his last fight, and if he gets beat there by Jair Rosenstreich, they don't renew his contract, and even if he wins, maybe they don't. So, like, I mean, that would be another decent fight here for Gane, and maybe he even... Nah, he probably wouldn't take a fight on short notice. But, like, if one of those dropped out, he could jump in Rosenstreich's position and go beat Blaydes. But, yeah, I think the only fight that gets him closer to the title shot and keeps him from, like, waiting in some weird nebulous spot where he probably doesn't get the title shot at the end of the day anyway is going and beating Stipe. So, yeah, I'd say sign him up to fight Stipe sometime at the end of the year. That way Francis can do what he has to do with the other two first.
I've been sent odds today for if Ngannou and Gane fight. What do you think the opening odds are from this unnamed book?
I'm going to spoil you on this one. I actually seen these because I saw Francis was like -170, -180.
Yeah, he's around there, yeah. It was actually, yeah, when they sent it to me, it was -160, +165, but I think it's gone down a bit since then, but yeah. So you nailed it, Dan. Amazing. You nailed it. So
yeah, I saw those got posted a lot, and it was weird to me because, like, it's weird for me for two reasons. Number one, he's clearly not the next opponent, so posting the odds seemed like a weird move. And number two, like, the times when those books send you those odds, right, because I get them too in my inbox, and, like, I usually just delete them because I'm like, I don't care about a fight that's going to happen a long ways off. I don't even open them. But, like, the other weird thing about it is, like, most of the time they're, like, fights that generate a high level of interest, right? Like, it's right after, you know, Conor beat Nate Diaz the second time, and all of a sudden we've got odds on him fighting, you know, somebody else who's a big name, and, you know, or right after, you know, the BMF title went to Masvidal, his odds versus Usman. Is there big fanfare behind Surreal Gane fighting Francis? Like, this doesn't feel like, and maybe I'm just in the minority here, I'm not crazy jazzed for that fight.
No one cared about the event last night, at least in terms of traffic and stuff. I know it was a busy night for combat sports and otherwise, but yeah, no one really cares. I'm getting more Andre Fili traffic than Cyril Gane traffic.
Yeah, that's not surprising to me at all. Yeah, like he looked way better and was, like, way more active on the feet. And, like, I don't mean to be mean, but, like, the last two performances from Cyril Gane have shown two things. Number one, he is an absolutely incredible talent, probably capable of holding the heavyweight title. And number two, nobody is going to fucking want to watch him at all, except for hardcores who understand just how talented he is. And it's a very small subset of people who, like, appreciate the technical aspects of what he's doing and what makes him so good and don't just want to see sloppy-ass heavyweight slobber knockers, which is what the majority of fans and even some people like me would rather see.
So what you're saying is you hate French people, Dan?
No, I love... Well, does Francis count as a French guy? No, he's Cameroonian, but...
Yeah.
I guess
still,
he's not
you're
really
crapping
French.
On all the French fighters, Dan.
And I was almost just going to say I also like Nasuruddin Imavov, but I'm pretty sure he was born in Russia and now lives in France.
See?
I got to think of... I like Faris Zaim.
All right, fine. that's hardly a French name, Dan.
Fariz?
Fariz. I guess it is, yeah. Like the TriStar dude.
Fariz Zahabi. Right. That's slightly different, right?
There you go. So, anything else to say? I don't think we have anything else to say about the main event. It was what it was.
I think you missed a key segue, though. You're usually on with your segues. I said I like big, floppy, heavyweight slobber knockers, and the next fight just happens to be.
It was big and sloppy, and it ended controversially because you can't trust Canadians, which I've told you before. And if I picked Tanner Boser, he would have lost, and I didn't pick my fellow Canadian Tanner Boser, so he won. That's the way it works. He knocked out Ovince St. Preux. Some people claim there was a fence grab, but I think on replay it showed that he didn't grab the fence. Isn't that right?
I didn't think he did. First of all, on the first take, it looked like he put his fist against the fence.
Right.
But there was no finger extension. Now, he may have done something where he, like, used his knuckles in the fence, but I'm not sure it was anything you could possibly talk about being illegal.
Right. So clean win, then, is how you're summing
absolutely.
This one up?
Yeah, absolutely. Right.
So he has a future still, then, I guess, eh? This is probably the biggest win of his career, possibly.
It's definitely the biggest win of his career, but, like, here's the other thing. I will say this about Tanner Boser, and I stand by, you know, I stood by my analysis of Volkov, and I'm going to stand by my analysis of St. Preux. I just think, in general, of Tanner Boser, he is going to have trouble with guys who are way bigger and way longer than him in this division who strike with any level of confidence. Put him in there with Volkov, right? And, like, he's going to get killed. Right, like, so does he have a future in the division? Yes, it's great that he's going to stick around because he is fun to watch. I'll give you that. He's fun to watch. He's fun to hear on the mic. You know, he's just like and he's also like a super nice guy. He's excellent to be in the UFC. But, like, as far as, like, having what we talk about, like, a top 10 or a top 5 future, there is a ceiling to what you can do when you're 6'1" at heavyweight, right? Like, there's not tons of 6'1" guys with short arms and not maxing out at 265 who are making any kind of noise in this division. So, you know, like, yes, OSP looked absolutely terrified to throw any punches. I think he threw maybe 5 in the whole first round, and eventually got the takedown that he would have needed to win the fight and couldn't hold him down. So, but I think that's going to happen more often than not to Tanner Boser here in a way where he won't be able to recover. So, yes, future in the sport and in the division for sure. Promising future. I'm going to hold off on saying yes on that.
So he doesn't have to worry about going back driving trucks to oil fields at any time soon, which is the perfect job for that guy. Oil trucks.
I'm going to say he doesn't have to worry about that, but it might make him more money than what the UFC will probably pay him most of the time.
Yeah, he's probably making about, estimate on MMA-manifesto.com. I think he got a new contract, so he's probably up to about 30 and 30 per fight. So, which is, you know, heavyweight, there's the potential is there though. If you stick around long enough, you can make even if you're middling, you can make real good money at heavyweight. But you gotta basically put your life, you're risking your life every night you walk in the cage, except against OSP. Who? What was his deal last night? Is he at the age that fighters get at where they can't pull the trigger anymore, which we see time and time again when guys stick around too long? I didn't think he was shop warm, but he just could not pull the trigger last night, which is usually a warning sign.
Yeah, that OSP that I saw in the cage yesterday, I'm not sure there's a heavyweight I would have picked to lose to that version of OSP. And I mean any heavyweight. Like, I would have taken just about anybody who's on roster to beat OSP last night if he fought that way. Because with the exception of the one takedown he got, like, he did nothing. He didn't look like he wanted to throw strikes. He didn't pressure well. Like, I mean, it was a very bad version of OSP.
It was almost like he was the guy that just stepped in on a couple of days' notice and took this fight, and he wasn't even, you know, training for a fight the way he acted. So his resume, he's lost 2 straight. He's won 1 out of his last 4. He's won 2 out of his last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 2 out of his last 7 And then what? 4 out of 10. So yeah, not very good at all. And he makes these, I think he's making about 100 grand, 100 and 100 per fight. So I doubt they're going to cut him after this. Maybe they will though, because it was a pretty bad performance. So, but he may be driving trucks to oil fields soon if he doesn't pull a nose up here. So we got both those fights wrong. We got the next fight wrong also. Bantamweights. Timur Valiyev beat Haoni Barcelos. I was calling him Raoni probably last episode, but I forgot he's Brazilian. So it's an H. The R is an H. Anyhow, he won a majority decision. I didn't realize that the one judge ruled it a draw, and then the other two had it Valiyev 29-28. There wasn't a whole lot of, I guess there wasn't a whole lot of decisions last night compared to previous events, but there wasn't a whole bunch of questionable calls.
This was one of them.
So I was going to ask you that.
They botched this one hard. Everybody, but I believe it was, because I've looked already at the MMA decisions, I think it was Mike Bell was the one who got it right. There's no way this was anything other than a draw. Anybody who scored this fight anything other than a draw was wrong. Barcelos 1,000% deserved a 10-8 second round, and he lost the other 2-10-9. You can't come that close to knocking somebody out two or three. Like, if the ref stepped in and stopped that fight at, like, three different points in that second round, nobody would have had any problems with the stoppage, except for maybe Timur Valiyev, and even he might not have come too quick enough to really complain. Like, that was one of the most clear 10-8 rounds I've seen in some time, and for only one judge to see it that way was kind of shitty, because I'll be honest, I thought for sure we had a push here. And this paired with the next one, which we'll talk about in a second, just like ultimate bad luck.
Yeah, we was robbed, Dan. We was robbed. I was thinking we could complain about the fence grab also, but it turned out not to be a fence grab after the fact. So, yeah, we were robbed here. The next fight, we were robbed also with an accidental eye poke. Andre Feely was touchy, was doing more than touching Daniel Pineda. He was knocking him about like a pinata. He had him on skates. He had him close to finishing him a bunch of times before he put his eyes in his eyeball in the second round and ended the fight. Unfortunately, it wasn't past the halfway point of the second round, so it was a no contest instead of a clear decision win for Mr. Feely. And so basically a push for us. So we've lost, push so far in the top four fights.
Yeah, and I would say this was such an easy win for Feely. Like, Feely looked great in there. I think that's where you said he was getting more traffic than Cyril Gain. I think this is why, right? Like, he looked so good in there.
Yep, he looked very good in there. But alas, we didn't win that one, and Dan kept his hot streak going here. So Dan went loss, push, loss again in the next. You got the whole main. No, you got one fight right in the main card. I thought you went 0-4 on the main card, but no. You're lucky for you. It was a 6-fight main card. If it was only your normal 5-fight main card, Dan would have gone 0-4. Because it was welterweight Tim Means versus Nicholas Dalby. I correctly picked Means to win. He won a slobber knocker, looked quite good in it. 29-28 over Nicholas Dalby. Cut him up, just Dirty Bird. Basically fought like someone you would expect to have the nickname Dirty Bird, basically.
Yeah, and the crazy thing for me here was how much sharper and better head movement he had than Dalby. Because, he's always been kind of like a scrapper and getting a dirty fight and, like, just be, you know, like, I mean, look back to his fight with Daniel Rodriguez, which is kind of my point of comparison here. I thought he was just going to get dirty, you know, to steal a piece of his nickname there and just throw wildly in the pocket. And I thought that kind of fight favored Dalby, but he actually avoided a lot of what Dalby threw really well. Like, his defense took a huge uptick in this fight.
Yep. Now he's on a nice little run here. What three straight wins, I think, that makes it for him. He hasn't really moved up much in my rankings because he hasn't been fighting the greatest fighters and finishing people. But
what about Mike Perry? He beat Mike Perry.
Yeah, like I said, case in point, yeah, he... And Nicholas Dalby's not a world beater to to overuse that expression this episode, but it's still any kind of win streak's nice. It gets your basically the way most of these contracts work is every time you win, your next purse is higher. So it's getting more money in his pocket, which is the name of the game in the end. So nice win for him. Plus it helped me help ensure that I was going to beat Dan on the night. So I was happy with that. So I finally got a W, and then the next fight, we got a W too, lightweights. Hanano Moicano, it basically went the way we expected over Jai Herbert. He grappled him to death and ended up choking him out.
Yeah, and I think this is the Moicano I'm really interested to see at lightweight, because it's like, man, it's kind of like a version of Charles Oliveira, and I'm not trying to oversell him, but like the Hanato Moicano, who has very efficient striking, but is kind of a fucking beast on the ground, which I think he forgot about for a really long time, just how good he was on the ground. And yeah, he got knocked out by Rafael Fiziev, but like, The two fights he's won at lightweight so far was Demir Hadzevic, who won earlier on the night, and Jai Herbert. In both of those, he looked absolutely dominant on the ground. So I'm really interested to see what other guys in this lightweight division he can do that to, because I think the number is probably higher than some people would even realize.
Yeah, he's kind of got his career back on track, too, over the past few fights. That's, what, 2 out of 3? So he's only won 2 out of his past 5. So this and 2 of them came in those last 3 fights. So had a nice little run here. Hopefully he can keep it going against some tougher competition. Do you think Jai Herbert gets another crack at it? He's been given a tough start to his UFC career. Who did he have in his first fight?
Francisco Trinaldo, yeah, in his debut. Yeah. So Trinaldo and Moicano is a tough start.
Yeah,
I got to imagine he gets one more, but man, he's looked kind of like a fish out of water in both of those ones. And they did release Reese McKee after kind of a similar type run. They're both Cage Warrior guys. I don't want to say that they should fire him, because I'd love to see him get one more, but yeah, it doesn't look good.
No. So that concludes the main card, which was just a hot mess for Dan. Just a hot mess. But what isn't a hot mess is our friends are back as a sponsor, Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you head over to underdogfantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for a free $25. You can use that $25 to enter the Best Ball Mania 2 tournament they have going on. First place in this Best Ball Mania 2 gets $1 million. I've missed saying that, but now I can say it again. That's right. Sign up now for a free shot at $1 million. Drafts are happening constantly. And it's not just the NFL. They also have NBA and MLB and much more. So go to underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN for your chance to win $1 million. And also, while you're on the webs, the interwebs, make sure you go and grab the SGPN app if you haven't already. We do have our own app now, and it is live in the App Store or Google Play Store. The app gives you easy access to all our picks, all our podcasts. You get notifications every time there's a podcast. We have contests on there. We have odds, like live odds on there. All our sportsbook promos are on there, and you can also get access to the main site to read our articles that we write and I help edit. So, and if you could, don't forget to toss us an app review and download our app today, please and thank you. That's SGPN. All right, so prelim's a bit better for you, Dan. You are a prelim primer picker, so not surprising. But, of course, we have to start off with an L. Kennedy Zichukwu knocked out Danilo Marquez, as Dan mentioned. He was wearing Marquez as a backpack for the whole first round, so I thought, hey, this is looking good for us, but it did not turn out that way. Zichukwu is kind of a scary dude when he starts throwing.
Yeah, well, not only is he a scary dude when he starts throwing, he is a scary dude in the late parts of the fight, because I don't know if you remember his last fight, too. He fought highly touted Carlos Ulberg.
Yep.
Got the hell beat out of him early. I gotta get the intern on this one, because Fight Metric had the numbers, and I looked last time for Carlos Ulberg in that fight, and he landed, and it was only a 2-round fight, right? Like, he got knocked out in the second. Yep. Ulberg landed some ungodly amount. Yeah, he landed 146 strikes in those 2 rounds, which is
wild.
Just insane. And it brings his strikes landed per minute to 15 strikes per minute, which means he lands a punch every 4 seconds. And that's brought down a little bit by his contender series thing. So, like, Zuchugu may take damage better than just about any light heavyweight I've ever seen before and fight adversity better. And, man, a couple of freaking awesome comeback wins for the guy. And you got to love it. You know, like, he's, like, the only guy from Fortis I've ever picked against. So, I'm glad he won.
Yeah, we got to stop doing that. Well, we got to stop doing that.
You can't pick against Fortis, guys. You got to know better than that.
Exactly. So he, he lost to Paul Craig in his debut, which is looking better by the day. And then he, Darko Stosic, he beat.
That was a weird one, though. There were like 800 dick kicks in that fight. Dan Pry
had tons of photos and GIFs and videos of that fight on your phone, don't you?
You know I was live at that fight, right? I was sitting cage side covering those fights.
You must have loved seeing all that dirty, horrible action. You're like, you probably couldn't wait to get that on your phone, right?
I couldn't have it on my phone because I wasn't there to take pictures, but yes.
Whatever.
I was enjoying myself.
Yes, and then he knocked out Carlos Ullberg, as you mentioned, and then he knocked out Danilo Marquez. So, he's got a future, and plus with the fight team that he has in his corner, it's very impressive. It's not like the guys he's knocked out have been knocked out a lot either. It looks like Marquez and Ullberg had only been finished once before in their careers, and he both finished them. So anyhow, and we're talking about a light as in not a whole lot of bodies or talent in light heavyweight. So I remember when I updated my rankings this morning, he, being Zuchugu, has jumped way up because he's got finishes and stuff. He is up in he's like in the top 15 now at this point, or right around there. So that's very, very interesting prospect here for sure.
Yeah, I think he's, and the other thing too is just being as young as he is, because he is only 29, which is kind of young for this division, not just young age-wise, but like young in the sport too, right? Like he only started fighting professionally in 2016, so he's got like 4.5 years of experience. Like there's a lot of growth we could still see out of him, and you know, he hasn't taken a ton of damage, you know, that one loss to Paul Craig being the only loss. Yeah, I think that we're going to see good things out of Kennedy Zuchugu.
I think the same about the next guy. We already have seen good things about from Shavkat Rakhmonov. He finished off via submission Michel Prezeris, who I think has never been finished before. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, he's never been finished.
It helped that he was 2.5 feet taller than him, it looked like, when they were in the cage.
It
was insane.
It seemed like more than 7 inches. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, exactly. Where's Rakhmonov from? He's from one of the stands, isn't he?
He's from Kazakhstan. Like Borat. But did say he was born on the broadcast. They said he was born in Uzbekistan, but to two parents from Kazakhstan, and then he lived his life in Kazakhstan. So I'm not sure the circumstances, but the flag he waves behind himself as he comes out is from Kazakhstan.
There you are. I knew he was, like I said, from on the stand. So as I was alluding to earlier, he's jumped way up in my rankings, welterweight rankings. Actually, I wasn't alluding to that. It was Zuchugu, but he has jumped way up. After two fights, he's already in knocking on the top 10. He's like, looks like he's number 11, which is, I know he's not going to be that high in the official rankings, but he looks like he's headed somewhere, this guy.
Yeah, I think, and not just because, you know, the metrics look good and the fact that he's got finishes look good, but like, look at who he finished too. Like his first two fights, you know, we were just talking about Jai Herbert should get another chance because he fought Moicano and Trinaldo. Shavkat Rakhmonov just fought Michel Prezeris, and he fought Cowboy Oliveira before that. Like, that's not even a big step down from what Jai Herbert did. And not only did he win both of those, he subbed both of those guys in dominant fashion. So, I was high on Shavkat Rakhmonov before the fight. I'm even higher on him now. I think he is probably, like, and I said it on the show last week, my second favorite welterweight prospect right now behind Sean Brady.
Right. And it's a very, what's right, it's a very deep division. Most pro athletes, if they cut weight, end up being a welterweight, other than your massive NBA or NFL guys. So not a surprise that most, you know, average muscular guys, if they cut down, they're right in this weight class. So not really a surprise that there's so many killers in the class, but it's also a very, very deep weight class. So hopefully this will allow him to keep progressing slowly up the ladder. Like you said, he's already been given a couple tough fights, but I'm hoping they don't throw him into the deep end yet. Heck, he doesn't even have a Wikipedia page yet, so come on. So hopefully, you know, he gets some nice undercard fights under his belt some more, and we build a real solid contender here.
Yeah, I think, man, I don't know if I want to slow play him, though. I think I want
really?
And if you look at the welterweight rankings, too, like, I think there are guys right on the edge of the top 15, or even in the top 15, that I think it would be fun to watch him fight right now. You know, like, man, I would watch him fight Muslim Salikov, and I'm not sure I would take Muslim Salikov in that fight. I mean, I would take him against Li Jingliang, right? Like, would you not take him against Li Jingliang?
Yeah, probably.
Or even, like, just, I mean, I don't mean to be mean to Jeff Neal, because I love Jeff Neal, but, like, I think I'd take Shavkat Rachmanov over Jeff Neal. I mean, you at least have to think about it, right?
It's the size and just the all-around game, too.
Yeah, like yeah, he can take it anywhere. So at the very least, you're considering taking him over a top-10 UFC guy right now. I don't know how slow we have to play that.
All right. There you go, Bookers. Dan's giving you the green light. Go ahead. Push him to the moon. How about the next welterweight, Jeremiah Wells? He destroyed Warley Alves, like, from the second the bell rang, basically, other than getting in some trouble on the ground. He just ran him over and looked like the madman that we heard he was and that you said that he was, and knocked him cold in the second round. How was that for a debut?
It was a good one. I would say there were things I liked about his debut and things I didn't like. So I'll start with the things that I didn't like, and then we can end on the things that I liked. I said in the breakdown that I liked Warley Alves because it seemed like Jeremiah Wells is just kind of a wild man when I watched him. He did nothing to deter me from that initial impression. He still looks like a wild man. He still kind of looks like somebody who's going to get hurt in there a couple of times with that wild status, especially at welterweight, right? Like, he went in there and beat Warley Alves. You want to, you know, get the stock while it's high. But here's the question, like, would you even let him anywhere near a cage with Shavkat Rachmanov right now?
No.
So, like, that wildness really has to come down. Here's the other thing I will say that is good, though. Man, do I love the fact that he can also wrestle a little bit, which I hadn't seen on a lot of his regional fights. Him taking Warley Alves down was like, oh, he's like a Daniel Gracie guy, exactly like I was hoping he would be a little bit. Because now there are, you know, like, there's a stable of Daniel Gracie guys right now who are really up and coming and turning into a real big deal. And I think, like, he showed that he has some of that same game as the other guys, along with some, like, wild, crazy striking. But hopefully he can get that under wraps and just use the power along with the wrestling and maybe turn into something that's a pretty good prospect.
Yeah, but mostly screw him because he screwed up our pick, so... basically is what Dan's saying. That's the number one thing we didn't like about that performance is that we picked against it. We could have made some decent money on him as a dog. Moving on, Marcin Prochniow body kicked Ike Villanueva out of there, which I predicted, of course. Maybe not the kick. Maybe not the body kick part, but I got this one right. Dan got this one wrong. So, you know, just big guys. Basically, you had the breakdown of it perfectly right. Prochniow's kept dipping his head, closing his eyes, getting lit up, but he hits hard also and got Villanueva out of there. But your breakdown of the fight was perfect, just not the outcome.
Yeah, well, and I said too that I just thought that Prochniow gets too wild, and he did. Yeah. And then he came out in the second round a little bit more measured, and he's like, I'm just going to throw every one of these wild winging strikes that I keep throwing to the body instead. Like, instead of throwing him to the head, I'll throw him to the body. I'm going to stop kicking his leg, which was working in the first round, and I'm just going to kick his body instead and see what happens.
Yeah.
And he did that a bunch of times, and it worked for him, so props to him. I'll give you this, though. Are you any higher on Marcin Prochniow after that performance than you were already?
No.
I wasn't high on him to begin with.
So.
Yeah, I was low on him to begin with, and I still think you put him in there with Kennedy Zuchuku or any other light heavyweight with, you know, a win or two under their belt, and I think they all wallop him.
Yep, very true. Julia Vila, the Raging Panda, got herself a submission victory in the final frame with, 41 seconds left over the other Julia Stolyarenko, who made it to the fight safely this time, which was nice. But good performance by Vila. It looked like she shored up some of her wrestling weaknesses, which poked his head out last fight, and she looked good in there.
Yeah, I thought she looked good in there, too. I'm going to ask you a question and see, because maybe you don't know or maybe you're not looking at it right now. Do you know who won the bonuses for these fights?
I do, yeah. Because I do write-ups on it and stuff, so yes, I know who won it. But yeah, I'm surprised that she didn't get it for the submission, and I'm surprised that
Jeremiah Wells didn't get one.
Jeremiah Wells should have got it, yeah. I would have liked people... You like seeing people lower on the card get it because they aren't making much money to begin with.
But. Well, I'll say this, too. If those two weren't going to get it, the other one who I had contemplating possibly winning it were Tanner Boser and Shavkat Rachmaninoff.
Yeah.
And so, like, we have that list of four, and none of them got it. And like, no offense to Kennedy Zuchuku, because I did like his performance, but did Danilo Marquez ever even fall down in that fight? Like he was standing when that fight ended, right? Like,
yeah, that was a strange bonus. Marcin Prochniow got it, which is cool. Body kick KOs are cool.
Yeah. I guess that for its novelty can win, but like the Zuchuku one, and I love Zuchuku. Like, very weird call.
Yeah, and then the fight of the night was Valiev versus Barcelos. Do you agree with that also?
I had it between that one and Medeiros Hadzevic, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Because
that one was really fun too.
Yeah, Avila could have got herself a bonus there for sure. But alas, she didn't. But she got herself a W, which is nice. Charles Arosa beat Justin James, who apparently bet all his purse on himself and lost. So that's lesson to all you degenerates. Do not gamble. It's only for losers. Losers only. Losers are gamblers. Gamblers are losers or something like that. But anyhow, Justin James lost all of his money because he bet everything, his full purse on himself, and he lost his split decision against Charles Ross. He was game, but this was one of those wacky scorecards. Someone had Rosa 30-27, so one judge had him win in all three rounds. Another judge had him 29-28, so they have him winning two rounds. And then another judge had him winning one round. They had Justin James winning two rounds. So that's a wacky scorecard. How did you score that one?
I think I gave two to Rosa in the – was it the third to James? Now my memory's not serving me well, but like
– Yeah, I think I was 2-1. I can't remember which rounds.
I would say emphatically that a 3-0 scorecard for Charles Rosa is – first of all, it's bad, but it's way better than the 29-28 James one. Like,
yeah.
There's no way James won that one. Also, I'm just looking now at MMA Decisions, or the intern is, rather. 30-27 for Charles Rosa. Do you want to guess the judge on that one?
Oh, there's too many bad judges to pick from.
It's the worst one.
Douglas Crosby is the worst one.
No. You're forgetting our old friend Adelaide Bird.
The next name out of my mouth was going to be Adelaide Bird. There you go.
Yeah.
The old boxing judge,
right? She showed up and decided that Charles Rosa won every round. So it's a bad scorecard, but it's not as bad as the one that went the other way.
Yeah. But we're not complaining because I'm bearing the lead here. We won on these past two picks. Avila and Rosa, we both had. I also had Prochniow, so I had... Things were looking good for me. We whiffed on the one we're going to talk about now to start things off, and then you got two straight, I got three straight. I thought, okay, it's going to be a good night. And then, you know, the wheels fell off when we got to the main card. And the loser leaves home match, I had dubbed it. Demir Hadzevic surprised us and beat Yancy Medeiros. Once again, you had it broken down correctly, right, that it was going to be Medeiros was going to bait him into a slugfest, which it was, but Hadzovic actually came out on top in it.
Yeah, in you know, I do think while you're giving me credit to break it down, and I'll take that credit all the time. The thing that was definitely wrong on my part is that was an easy situation for Yancey to win. Because actually, I think he looked better in the moments that weren't a crazy brawl. Right? Like, he actually looked better in the moments where he was, like, picking his spots. And like, it is what it is. But, like, yeah, he's just sort of a guy who used to be able to get in wars and win those with toughness. And now he's just run into enough tough guys that, what has he lost? Has he lost four in a row?
Yes, he has, yeah. His chin was still there. He was getting rocked, but, yeah, that's four in a row, so it may be the end of Yancey Medeiros. But then, once again, he's one of those let-it-bleed guys, so just-bleed guys, so maybe they'll keep him around.
Yeah, but his overall record in the UFC is pretty terrible, too, isn't it not?
Let me see what we had. Actually, yes, the intern is going to check right now. Losing four straight is actually not going to do you any good, no matter what your record was before then. He was 9-0 heading into the UFC, which is surprising. He's now 15-8, so he's gone 6-8-1 in the UFC.
Yeah, so like, man, even the four in a row is, while it's bad, like, the rest of the record doesn't save him much either.
No. Every episode we're pretty much firing people, aren't we? They should hire us to fire people. We seem to be picking people off left and right here. So that wraps up that card where we weren't very good at picking off winners, but hopefully no one out there actually takes us seriously and follows our advice and bets on what we say to bet on, because you're broke if you do. So we're actually having an off week next week, which is very strange. We're going to have to come up with content for the next two podcasts, which is odd. My number one nemesis had threatened to come on episode 50, but I think since we since he got a Nintendo Switch for his end of school present, I think it's occupied him enough that he's not bugging to be on the show anymore. Maybe we'll get him on. If we're dying for topics to cover in 51, 52, maybe we'll get on those episodes. But yeah, they're taking a week off to reset before Hurricane Connor touches down again in the desert. UFC 264 is the next event on the UFC docket. July the 10th from the T-Mobile Arena, we got Poirier versus McGregor, part three at the top. Gilbert Burns, Stephen Thompson, Tai Tuivasa, Greg Hardy, Irene Aldana, Yana Kunitskaya, Sean O'Malley, Luis Smolka. Not a pay-per-view worthy main card, eh?
You know, you say that. I think Irene Aldana versus Yana Kunitskaya is a super fun fight.
Yeah,
and I also think if Yana Kunitskaya wins that, she's probably not far away from a title shot. Which, granted, there's not a ton in that division right now, but you got to remember, she's coming off of beating the hell out of Julia Stoliarenko and then beating Ketlin Vieira, who's a pretty, you know, tough one too. So I think she's probably close. Sean O'Malley is always going to do well in a pay-per-view, and I think they probably feel the same way about Greg Hardy. So, like, yeah, while those two matchups are more underwhelming, I get why they're on there. And then the co-main event is just an absolute firefight that I could not be more excited about.
Yeah, no, that's true. Burns Thompson should be good. So, but they don't pack these cards because they don't need to, because Conor McGregor's on there and he's eating up all their budget also. So they don't want to have to give out more pay-per-view money to other people. So it makes sense. People are going to watch it because of the top fight, or casuals are going to watch it for the top fight. Degenerates like us will watch every fight on every card regardless. Speaking of that, let's see how much he's shown us in the past that he watches pretty much all MMA. I got a hoof from him. Oof. For
well, I, did you watch it? Sounded did you watch like you were going to test me, so yeah,
no,
I was
no,
a
no,
little
no.
bit worried
no,
about that.
That's,
so.
That's pretty much, we'll be doing that 51 and 52 when we have no topics to talk about. Did you watch PFL last week, Dan?
I did watch PFL, but mostly just because I wanted to see Kayla Harrison. And yeah.
She delivered?
She delivered, as usual. But I would also say I not only wanted to see Kayla Harrison, I do like Cindy Danzois. She's kind of like a, if you follow, like, the early origins of, like, women in MMA, she's, like, I won't say she's, like, a godfather of, or godmother of women's MMA, because she's not old, quite old enough to be that, but she's, like, part of that, like, Roxanne Modafari early tier of, like, women making their name in MMA. So, like, I kind of got a sweet spot for her for that reason. So I was kind of hoping she put up a better fight, but I would have tuned in just to watch her even.
Yeah. And then Anthony Pettis lost again too, which is not what the PFL planned when they, I'm assuming they're probably paying him a decent base pay on top of the chance to win $1 million. So I'm sure this is not what they planned.
When I interviewed him right before he started his PFL career, he said that they had pitched to him like the concept of being partners, not being like him working for them, to think of it as a partnership. He'd help them build their brand and they'd help him build their brand. And like, you know, not for anything, and I don't want to disparage the guy, but, like, have you ever heard of the dude who beat him? Like, even me, who's, like, I watch a lot of MMA. Like, I virtually never heard of this guy, other than, if I'm not mistaken, he's the guy who didn't want to fight his friend a few events ago, so they canceled it. They wound up canceling his fight. He was supposed to, like, step in on short notice and fight Nathan Schultz, who's, like, his best friend. And that fight wound up getting canceled because they, like, rebooked Schultz's fight with somebody else. So, like, the only reason I had heard the name before Roush Manfio was because of that. And, like, because he had come off of a loss to, like, Sydney Outlaw. Like, Matt Frivola beat the shit out of him, and, like, he didn't get into the Ultimate Fighter house way back when, and, like, it's just crazy to me that this is the guy beating Pettis now. I have to wonder if, like, do you think Pettis is spent, or do you think this was the result of him being in a situation where his first loss made it so that he couldn't be in the playoffs, and it was, like, a lack of motivation?
What did his first loss? I don't think his first loss would have taken him out of the playoffs at that point.
It wouldn't have taken him out of the playoffs, except for he would have had to go in and finish this guy in, like, the first or second round. So,
okay,
like,
if
you have to finish a guy in the first round and then you don't get it, how do you look in the second and third round?
Yeah.
You know,
I think,
and that's where he lost it.
I think the main issue with him is he really – his game has not evolved at all since he peaked winning the UFC championship. He really is the same fighter as he was back then. I think that's the issue there.
And a step slower, probably.
Yeah, he's 34 now too, which doesn't help. So, not what they had planned, I'm sure, when they signed him. So he is not making it. Didn't make it through to the playoffs. Fabrizio Verdum didn't make it through. A lot of big name guys did not make it. Make it into the final four. Rory Madonna sneaked through despite losing his last fight.
He didn't lose that.
No, I know. Olivier Aubin-Mercier didn't make it. So a lot of UFC guys are had a tough go at it here. Didn't make it through. So anyhow, did you watch Bellator?
I tuned in for just the last two fights. I tuned in to watch Liz Carmouche because I low key really love Liz Carmouche. And then I watched the heavyweight main event. Moldanovsky beat Tim, the Bear Johnson. And then I, like, caught some of the replays of some of the prelims. I went and saw it. Like, did any of these end excitingly? So I went and looked a little bit at Sydney Outlaw's win over Miles Jury. What was the name? Jalen Bates is the prospect I really liked off of this. He looked good. I saw that Soren Bach won, who I like Soren Bach, and I like Christian Edwards. I saw they won, but I didn't go back and watch them. So I was slacking a little bit. I've been slacking lately.
Hey, that's okay. Did you watch Cage Warriors? They had an event too.
They did not have an event.
They had two events.
No, keep on.
Three?
Really? Come on, dude. Yeah,
I heard they crowned, what, two Irish champs or something, but I didn't know they had that many events.
They called it the trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they had a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So I'll be honest, I did not catch Cage Warriors 123, 124, and 125 all.
Wow.
That would have been a little bit too aggressive. I did catch little bits and pieces. I did catch the aforementioned Irish champion taking his belt home, Ian Geary. I was very surprised because I liked Jack Grant. I thought Jack Grant was going to look good. I also watched Gerardo Fanny win by flying knee, which if you guys don't go back and watch highlights and stuff, go watch that dude because he's super fun and he's Dutch and a lot of fun to watch. So I watched that one. And then I watched a couple of the ones on Thursday, but only like the very beginning of the card. So like nobody of real notable name, just was like looking to see some fun fights. And I think the first four fights on that card, which is when I turned it off and couldn't keep watching, all ended by finish, which was kind of fun.
You claim that you didn't watch it, but then you just name a whole bunch of it.
Well,
no,
I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched the first, like I said, the first four because I couldn't watch the whole thing. I'm not that crazy. I watch what I can when I can watch it.
I don't know. So, but what are we gonna? Oh, there's no events next weekend because you guys have your stupid 4th of July next weekend, don't you?
No.
That's why we have nothing to talk about.
There's still events. Come on, you gotta know
fine.
That.
Titan. Titan FC LFA, right?
Yeah, there's Titan FC and LFA, which are literally the probably with the exception of no, those are probably the two best regional promotions, right? LFA and Titan. CFFC.
In North America, yeah.
CFFC.
They have one, too, I think.
And they also have an event, yeah. And I think they got a guy, if I'm not mistaken, defending his title, who was on the Contender Series, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I could be wrong. But I thought they had a Contender Series guy fighting. But maybe I'm thinking LFA. Well,
Dan's going to break down all these fights for you guys next week because you need something to – You can bet on all these fights. So
do you think
maybe I'll have you bet on some of them.
Are there sports books that have odds on LFA?
Oh yeah.
Oh, we're gonna have.
Yeah,
to,
I think
you're
so.
Gonna have to
I think
me,
I've seen.
You're gonna
I
have to show me some of those.
doesn't best fight odds? Doesn't that list LFA odds? I'm looking. I just googled it. Yeah, there's. I don't know if any of these places sponsor us, so I won't say. But yes, you can bet on LFA. Okay, so maybe we'll have you break down some of the fights in that way,
right.
And we'll find some ridiculous things to talk about, I'm sure.
There's some good odds usually on LFA fights. You can find some real sleeper underdogs there.
Yeah, I would think you would just because there's not a whole lot of sharps on there,
right.
You know, adjusting the lines for you, right?
Right, exactly. And so it's like where the books opened it, and a lot of times that's really based off a record. So, like, and we all know guys who've been beating cans senselessly and who are going to run into, like, a good wrestler or something.
Yep. Very good. All right. Well, there we go. Now we have topics now. You guys can come back for episode 51, 52, and we'll break off the next 50 in style. So I think that's all we really need to give you. This is free after all. What do you people want from us? Do you think do you deserve anything else from us this episode, Dan, or do you think we can tell them to get lost now?
I think you can put it to bed.
All right. Let's put it to bed. Follow us on Twitter, Jeff Fox Writer and Gumby Vreeland. Download the SGPN app. What else should you do? Read our stuff on sportsgamblingpodcast.com and MMA-manifesto.com. Subscribe to MMA Gambling Podcast. Subscribe to our feed there. And if you want to give us a rating and review, that would be great. I think that's it. So I'm going to put it to bed, and I'm going to tell you all to get lost.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. and hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.